right, all right. If you would, take a seat. We'll get started. Hey, man, there's a lot of energy in this chapel. You guys excited about tests? There was like a pause for a split second. Like, what you talking about, test? You guys excited about what God's doing? Man, this is incredible. Hey, you guys, seriously, it is a real pleasure. It's an honor to just watch you and see your life. God has made a massive change in many of you. How many of you, is it your first time tonight? Here in Chi Alpha, that is. Is it your first time? Can I embarrass you? Would you stand up? If you would allow me to embarrass you for a moment. This woman right here. Who else? We got a couple people. I just met you. I know it's your first time. This guy. Hey, thank you for coming. Okay, you can take a seat. Hey, we welcome you to Chi Alpha, and lives tend to get changed in this ministry. Lives tend to get changed when you hang out with godly people that know Christ. Would you agree?
Amen.
Our leader, my friend, our pastor Eli is in Montana tonight. He's been there for a while. I see Mandy. Hi, Mandy. That's his wife, Eli's wife. My wife. Here. She's, you raise your hand. Yeah. And so we want to say thank you for coming. Eli texted me earlier today and said that he was praying for us, praying for you, praying for what God would like to do in your heart tonight. We are going through a series in Philippians. Have you guys enjoyed the book of Philippians? Have you been reading the book of Philippians? Okay. There are three types of fellowship that are recognized in the book of Philippians. What would be the first one that we talked about? Question to you. Fellowship in the Spirit was what Colby spoke about in the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel. Then fellowship in the Spirit, and tonight we are, I don't know if we're finishing the series on Philippians, but we are finishing that three-part series on the fellowship, the three fellowships. And tonight will be over fellowship with Christ and His suffering. So if you would, open up to Philippians chapter 3, and we're going to hang out around verses 10 and 11. We may read a little bit before that. But first, let's pray. Father God, we love you. Holy Spirit, we recognize that we are nothing but flesh, and we make mistakes without your leading. And so, Holy Spirit, I pray for your leading tonight. I pray for your Holy Spirit to be here in this place. Make known to the things of our heart, Lord. Make known your ways to us tonight. Open our heart, help us to understand what is true, what you're trying to say to us in this word. Father, I pray for my friends that we would be led into deeper walks with you tonight, that we would be challenged to greater levels of commitment, willing to go further than we've had in the past, Lord. And if it's our night tonight, we have not trusted you, Father. We've not turned from sin and repented and received forgiveness from Christ. I pray tonight in someone's heart that they would hear that cry of Jesus on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That cry tonight is still true, Lord, that I pray for that forgiveness, Lord. So we ask that your presence would be with us, Lord. We pray that your presence would dwell in this place. We love you. Amen. All right, Philippians. The Apostle Paul wrote Philippians. Man, Paul was a G, wasn't he? Goodness. He was crazy. He was crazy. He traveled the known world. I think he planted, he had over 45 different cities he was working on planting churches. Somewhere around there, if I get the number correct. And he made it, they say that he made it even as far as Spain and even maybe Great Britain. I mean, that's a long ways to go. I mean, we're talking about like sailing boats and donkeys and horses and walking, right? So there are no planes involved here. That's a lot of miles to travel. Paul was wild. He was crazy. He was a little nasty. You know, he called people out on sin. And he hung out with some of the roughest people in the world and was able to get a church going there. Paul was crazy. He was incredible. The book of Philippians is wonderful. The mantra of the book, as Eli has mentioned, really is kind of the theme of Paul's life, that Christ might be magnified in my body. That's a wonderful saying, that Christ might be magnified in Paul's body. And in this book, this letter is an encouragement to the people in Philippi. They are definitely under heat. They are definitely experiencing a lot of persecution. And we find a lot of answers, Christian answers, God's answers to suffering. If you'll study the book of Philippians, you'll find some good solutions, some good answers to suffering, and how us as believers should respond to that. So we're going to see a little bit of that tonight. So let's start with, let's begin to read from verse 5. Chapter 3, verse 5, and we're going to work down to verse 11. It says, I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blood citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin. A real Hebrew, if there ever was one, I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. I once thought that these things were valuable, but now I consider them worthless because of what Christ has done. Stop for a second there. This was up to that point in Paul's life. I'm not sure how old he was. Probably a young man, my age, maybe a little younger. But that was his life's work. He just gave you his resume. Hebrew of the Hebrews, from the strictest class, tribe of Benjamin. He was a zealot. He was zealous for the things of God. He was doing what he felt like was right for God and his kingdom. But at the end there, it says, when he met Christ, he considered it all lost. He considered it all worthless. That word translated is cow manure, dung. That's the translation of it. It is worthless. How many of you guys can relate with Paul? Up to the point of meeting Christ, did any of it really matter? All the good works, all the accolades, all the things that you did. There are a lot of things that people do, a lot of reasons that people live. There are a lot of purposes that people give themselves to. They give their best time to. They give their best energy to. The best years of their life. You a question. What gets you out of bed every morning? Why do you do what you do? What drives you? You're an A&M Aggie. You're supposed to be one of the most zealous, ambitious, driven people in the state of Texas. Is that right? You didn't just wake up one morning and say, hey, I'm going to go to A&M. Right? That doesn't happen. If you were to tell me your purpose, the reason you get out of bed every morning, the why behind your life, I would learn a lot about who you are. Because foundationally, the purpose of man's life is the man. Would you agree? I feel in my heart right now, this is definitely not in the notes, but I sense tonight especially that there are some hearts that are here, that are some souls that are here with us tonight, and you are seriously contemplating your purpose in life, the reason you've been getting out of bed, and the why behind the things you're doing. And I want you to know that you can get that answer tonight, that could be Christ. If that reason is not bringing the hope and satisfaction and peace that you hoped that it would, then Christ offers you his life. And I want you to know that when I, and personally, and anyone here, if you know Christ and you have turned your life over to him and you're like Paul and said, all of that is crap. All of that doesn't matter. None of that means anything compared to knowing Christ. And if you're here asking that question, what is my life's work up to this point? I've been getting up. I've been working hard to make the grades, to take the test, to make more grades, to go on to the next class. Maybe you came into college and you were thinking, you know, I'm hoping college will give me direction. I'm hoping college will show me purpose. You haven't found it yet. Maybe you were one that came to college and said, I look forward to graduating, and I do plan to graduate and get a good job, and I'm going to have a good job, and I'm going to make some money, and I'm going to build up some comforts for me, and I'm going to enjoy life and have a lot of fun. But you do feel empty. You do feel that something's lacking. I'm telling you that you were not put here on this earth for that reason. You were put here to know Christ. And you will continue to feel empty until you find him. So my hope is that at the end of your life, you don't say that your life's work was wasted on some purpose that someone else, whatever that is, material thing, some job, some enterprise, some corporation, a bunch of money, it'll go to somebody else. And my fear is that you'll pass into eternity and not trust your life into Christ, thinking that this stuff, this material things, were going to save you, and it won't. So my hope is tonight that you see in Christ a Savior, and you find in him purpose in your life, the purpose that you've been looking for, and maybe you've been looking in the wrong place, but it doesn't have to continue that way. If you feel like that's you, do you mind raising your hand and just being brave and saying, man, I've been off for the past year as a freshman, as a sophomore, maybe a junior. I've been off. Okay. I'm lacking purpose. I'm in need of his hope. Okay, let's pray real quick. Father, pray that your Holy Spirit would pull on our hearts right now, Lord, that we would give up those vain things. They won't last. They won't meet the desires and the peace that we're looking for. It won't last. And only what's done for you, Christ, will last. And I pray, Father, that my friends here, that those that raised their hand would reach out to you, Father. They would turn from those things, and they would receive you as Savior. They would repent and believe in Christ and receive his forgiveness. Amen. If you felt like that was you, would you mind even afterwards come up and talk to me? I would love to, or someone here that maybe brought you. Would love to talk to you a little bit more. Thank you for allowing me to do that. I felt like I just needed to be obedient to that. So, let's continue with this verse. Paul considers that it was all worthless because of what Christ has done. Amen. What a beautiful, beautiful truth. Yes, everything else is worthless when compared with the infinite value of knowing Christ my Lord. For his sake, I have discarded everything else, counting it all as garbage, so that I could gain Christ and become one with him. I no longer count on my own righteousness through obeying the law. Rather, I become righteous through faith in Christ. That's another great truth. We're righteous through faith in Christ and trusting in Him. For God's way of making us right with Him, with Himself, depends on faith. Now here's the verse. I want to know Christ and experience the mighty power that raised Him from the dead. I want to suffer with Him, sharing His death, so that one way or another, I will experience the resurrection from the dead. In the King James Version, it has, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering. The fellowship of Christ's suffering. I don't know where everybody is in their walk with God, but I've been thinking about this verse for a while. It is very challenging. Very challenging. And so my hope tonight is that you are challenged to go further and deeper into your walk with Christ, and that there's areas that you're willing to go, commitment levels that you're willing to make, things that you're willing to do that may require a little bit of suffering, a little bit of pain, a little lack of sleep, and go on a different or a deeper level of fellowship with Christ. A level that most don't go. A relationship that most don't ever experience. And suffering will be part of that. So, you guys ready? This is going to be heavy. Jesus Christ was fully human. This is important to remember. We see Colossians 1:15 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. John 1:14, so the Word became human and made His home among us. Jesus suffered in every way. He was tempted in every way that man had been tempted. In every way. All right? So it's important to remember that Christ suffered and that He was tempted. And there's nothing that you've experienced that you're going through that Christ can't relate to. He played by the same rules you and I did, guys. He played by the same rules. Yes, He was the Son of God. Yes, He was fully God, but also fully man. Again, it's a mystery. It blows my mind. But He played by the same rules. What were the purposes of Christ on this earth? You guys can shout a few out. I have a couple up here. That's right. Man, that's good. To destroy the works of the devil. That is one of His main purposes. What else? To save, to reconcile lost to the Father. To bring into relationship once more those that were lost. What else? Right. To take on the punishment of sin, right? Okay, what else? To do the will of the Father. To reconcile, to love, to be just. He came to seek and save that which was lost. When I think about this verse, fellowship with Christ and His suffering, I had asked the question, Paul, he didn't just want to suffer for suffer's sake to understand fellowship, but suffering is a result. A result of what? Suffering was a result for Christ. Suffering was a result of all those purposes we just named. You guys understand that, right? We're talking about the kindest, most loving, most wonderful human being that's ever walked the earth, and His purpose was to seek and save that which was lost, to heal and bind up the brokenhearted. And what did the end of His life end in? Crucifixion. He suffered. Christ suffered as a result of His life's work. How many of you guys went into college saying, the result of my life's work, I want to suffer? That's my hope for being here at A&M. Most don't normally say that. I'm taking this job because it's going to hurt. I want to be paid as less as I can get and work as hard as I can and get as less amount of sleep. No. Christ suffered. His purposes were to seek and save those who were lost, to ruin the works of Satan. So who was it that caused Christ suffering? He lived his life this way. Who was afflicting the pain? Wicked people, sinful people, selfish people. Who else? Religious people. Okay, who else? Satan? Maybe. Demonic powers. Look, anytime that you and I choose to take up the works of Christ, we are going to come head on in conflict with things. Okay, so when Paul says, I want to fellowship with Christ in his sufferings, I want to fellowship with him and work the works of Christ, he understands that he's going to come head on into this conflict. What type of sufferings did Christ experience? Shout them out. We got physical, emotional, mental, and spiritual. Those are the categories. Real quick.
Rejection.
He was beaten, whipped, mocked. He was alone, yes, lowly.
Despised,
rejected by man, yep. He's crucified. Spiritually, what type of suffering did he take on? He was separated from the Father. His heart, for the first time in eternity, Trinity experienced separation. He took on the sins of the world, didn't he? The sins of all mankind, past, present, future, yours and mine. If you thought about that, if we added up the physical sufferings of Christ, and I say this reverently, not irreverently, but if we added up the physical sufferings of Christ, and we compared it to Paul's physical suffering, Paul may have suffered more physically. But who truly suffered more? Christ did. Spiritually, the amount of grief and turmoil and reject, it was terrible, guys. So if you want a good little study, think about the spiritual sufferings of Christ. Sufferings reveal passion. What you're willing to suffer for reveals what you're passionate about. Isn't that true? Man, I see these athletes in the Winter Games, and we're training for this triathlon right now, and we're getting up early, and we're trying to diet, not doing well, but and man, it takes some real discipline. Some of these guys are getting up at 5, and that's all they do. They think it, they eat it, they breathe this training, and they're willing to put themselves through all this rigorous turmoil in their bodies to compete for a couple of days. What you're willing to suffer for reveals what you're passionate about, or what you're living for. When I looked at the word passion in the Webster Dictionary, do you know the definition it gave me? The first definition that showed up? It said, and I quote, the sufferings of Christ between the night of the fast or the Last Supper and his death. The sufferings of Christ between the night of his Last Supper and his death. That's the definition that was given for passion. I have found more joy. I have found more freedom in my own personal life. I actually have cried more in my personal life when I've studied the passion of the Christ. When I look at the cross and I think about what he did there, I have to ask the question, why? His purpose was to suffer. His purpose was to come. come to ruin the works of the enemy, to seek and save that which was lost, knowing that he would suffer death from it, knowing that there would be separation from the Father, knowing that there would be such spiritual turmoil, we'll never understand it. When we begin to really study the cross, we begin to study the passion of Christ, it changes you. And when I, like Paul, say I want to fellowship with Christ in his suffering, I want to fellowship with Christ in his work. I want to take up the work of Christ, his purposes in life. I don't wake up one morning and say, that's just what I want to do. That's not just one of my goals. What's happened is we have been changed by this fact. This love of God that would come and restore us in relationship with him. I love this quote. We do not become missionaries by crossing the sea, but by seeing the cross. I don't do what I do because I just thought it'd be a good idea. I'm working for Christ not because I have to. What I'm doing is voluntary. The things I decide to do, the things that Paul decided to do, all that he went through, it was voluntary. When I saw what Christ was trying to do on the cross, when I study his passion, I hear him broken on the cross, crying out, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I have to say that's for me. And my response to that is thank you. And so from then on, and I gave my life to the Lord 13 years ago, and so since then I've been trying to say thank you to God. And that has wound up here. I've gone on mission trips. I've been a part of some fun things and watched the Lord do some incredible work. But I believe our life's work as a Christian, our life's work as missionaries, as or whomever, the service that I do for God, the work that I enter in for Christ, I'm trying to say thank you. Really is what it comes down to. I'm trying to say thank you. You guys feel that way at all? Are you grateful for what he did on the cross? Okay. Paul realized that he was forgiven. In this life, in this world, there are two categories. There's the forgiven and there's the unforgiven. And those that have received Christ, those that have heard that cry on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do, that cry is still going out. 2018 years later, crossing over boundaries of time, generation upon generation, the forgiveness is still offered. And those that receive it have received a relationship with him. Those who don't go on unforgiven. Their lives represent selfishness. Their lives represent self. The cry of Paul's heart was to know Christ. And that's where I'm at right now, guys. I'm there. I want to know Christ. I want to know the man that was on the cross. I want to know the man that was so passionate to seek and save that he would suffer so much. That word that Paul uses there in verse 10, I want to know Christ, is gnosko. It was actually used also as a man knows his wife sexually. So the emphasis there is to know Christ intimately, closely, not from a distance. The word fellowship here is interesting. It's koinonia. The word is used in the sense of joint participation with an emphasis on intimacy that comes from a difficult task. Koinonia. It's a fellowship with those that you labor alongside with. It's a type of intimacy that you get when there's struggling and suffering involved. Paul wanted to know Christ that way. He saw not just a suffering Savior. He saw He wanted to know him as companion. He wanted to know him. He wanted to work alongside him. He wanted to enter into Christ's suffering through his work. Christ's passion became Paul's passion. Paul was so transformed by his vision of Christ and the cross, he counted everything else lost that would not serve the purposes of Christ. So fellowship with Christ in his work. Christ's work resulted in suffering. And Paul's desire was to fellowship with Christ in a work that could cost him his life. To know Christ truly and fellowship with him, we must be willing to pick up our cross daily, follow him outside the city to the place of the skull. This is a challenge that I've been faced with. You know, that the streets in Jerusalem, I think I have a photo up here. I've been challenged lately to know Christ intimately, to join him in his work in the places that it hurts the most. And I realize if I'm going to follow Christ, I have to meet him symbolically on the road to Jerusalem. And I have to meet him there, and I have to experience what he experienced. If I'm going to have real fellowship, joint participation, the type of koinonia, the type of fellowship that brothers in arms have in a fight, if I want to have that type of relationship with Christ, I have to get on the dirty streets that he walked, and I have to work with the people that he worked with, and I have to be willing to experience what he experienced and suffer what he suffered. You guys see that? And the challenge tonight that I have for everyone here, if you have been walking with Christ and you have kept him in the fellowship that he wants you to have it, you kept that at arm's length because you were afraid of a little suffering. You were afraid of a little pain. You were asking the question, that's going to hurt me financially. That's going to hurt the dreams and hopes that I have in my life. That's going to cause some pain and uncomfort. I'm going to be tired all day if I get up that early. I'm ready to go to bed. I don't have time to hang out and talk with this person. I'm a little scared. I'm a little nervous. You see what I'm saying? My challenge to you is that you enter into that fellowship with Christ. Be willing to go further in and experience a little bit more of his suffering. Take on the work that he took on. And the result will be a little pain, a little suffering. But the suffering's the reward. And that's the beautiful part. The suffering's the reward. Let's look at Matthew 5, verse 11 to 12, and we're going to close here. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things about you because you are my followers. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets were persecuted in the same way. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute you. The suffering's the reward. When you suffer for the same reasons Christ suffers, you are blessed and rewarded. The Bible teaches us that. Isn't that a wild way of looking at suffering? Have you ever thought about suffering that way? Now, of course, if you suffer for doing wrong, you deserve what you get. There's that. If you were mean and angry and someone else was mean and angry and hit you back, well, but if you suffer for the purposes of Christ, if you'll enter into the same work that brought Christ's suffering, guess what? That suffering is a reward. The Bible says it's an eternal reward. Who knows what that looks like? There's all kinds of wild ideas. The Bible has a lot to say, but there are eternal rewards. There will be those in heaven that will look at and say, "He suffered. She suffered." There will be distinguishing marks. There will be something about that individual that we'll be able to say, they've got their reward. There'll be a difference. You see that? Christ in heaven, by the way, will be the only one with scars. Physical scars. We'll have a resurrected body. He has the physical scars as a crown. There's a special intimacy that comes with Christ. And Paul, this is what Paul was getting at, that I would fellowship with Christ in his suffering. How many of you guys know that when you suffer alongside someone, there's a unique bond there? Yep. Yeah. We'll use Chad and Patrice here. I watched Chad, a day back in August. You remember that day, Patrice? Boy, she was making Chad work and sweat, and it was agonizing. And we talked and talked and talked more, and Chad just didn't know what to do. But I feel a little closer with Chad because of those nights, long nights of talking and talking. And I got to watch as he wrestled through that experience and won his prize. Paul sees there's a special intimacy with Christ that comes only with suffering. And if we will enter in and be brave to the work that Christ has for us, and we won't shy away from suffering, if we won't be scared by the enemy, then we're going to be able to look at him differently. And we're going to be able to relate with Christ in a way that we hadn't been able to before. And we're going to be able to say thank you in a way that we had never been able to say thank you before, because we understand what it's like to be rejected. Have you been rejected, Christian? Have you, follower of Christ, have you been insulted because of your standing up for the purposes of Christ? Have you maybe been physically hit, physically abused? Maybe you experienced spiritual turmoil. All these things are ways of entering into a deeper intimacy with Christ. And the last is there's special intimacy with those others, believers that are around the world that have suffered too. I have friends that are here that have suffered for Christ. I look at my friends now that are going through LTC, and I'm proud of you guys. I see you at the booth, and you have students walking by, and they're just ignoring you. So there's some rejection there. Some of you have been insulted. Some of you had people say some strange things, obscene things at you. I want you to know I get it. Absolutely, I've been there. And so we have a special relationship. We have a special fellowship. And I'm proud of you. And God is proud of you. Lastly, that I may know Christ. If you guys would stand. What I want you to do, wherever you're at, if you'd like to come to the altar, you can use this time. But you would like to enter in a deeper fellowship with Christ. Maybe there have been moments that Christ has been calling you out of your comfort into scary places, to talk to scary people, to go to scary places. I want to call you out tonight. I want to say, if you'll do that, if you'll respond, you will experience and have a deeper understanding, an experiential understanding with the fellowship of Christ on the level of his suffering. And that is a unique relationship. And as you begin to experience Christ in that way, that relationship, that experience will only make it easier and easier for you to say yes to Christ the next time. To look at that opportunity to say, yes, I can do that. So would you come tonight if you feel that your fellowship with Christ has been superficial? It's been largely about you. It's been largely about your comforts. It's been largely about your happiness. Would you come and say, Christ, I know that when you died on the cross, it was more, had more to do about my life than that, than my personal happiness. Your purpose on that cross, your passion, had more to do with the lost in this world, had more to do with ending the works of Satan than it was making me happy. So if tonight you're in that boat, and it has been pretty superficial, it has been a lot all about you, would you come up front and repent? And say, I don't want to make it about you. I don't want to make it about me anymore, God. I want to make it about you and your purposes and the passion of the cross. Seek and save that which was lost. And if suffering results from that, insult, rejection results from that, so be it. But I want a real walk with God. I want a real fellowship with Christ. For those that are here that are saying, Lord, I don't know if I even care that you suffered on the cross. I don't know that I even care that it was the very sinful acts that I plan to do tonight was the reason that you died there. The selfishness, the sin in my life, that was why you died, but I don't get it. I don't necessarily care. But maybe you want to. If that's you, would you come to the front and say, Lord, I want to understand. I want to understand why you were on the cross. I want to understand Paul when it meant so much to him to suffer with Christ. Willing to die alongside this Jesus. So if tonight you've not seen your sin on the cross, if you've not seen Christ dying for your selfishness, if you are still unforgiven and have not reached out and received his forgiveness, and you go on living a life that is displeasing to him, making decisions that are unpleasing, living a lifestyle that he has tried to set you free from. If that's you and you want your freedom, if you want your forgiveness, would you do that? Would you raise your hand right now? I know someone's here and you have not reached out and receive the forgiveness of Christ. You're still holy and totally selfish and living your life for yourself. and you want the forgiveness of Christ, you want to be forgiven, you're tired of being unforgiven, you're tired of feeling guilty, you're tired of your conscience working on you the way it is, and you're ready to be forgiven, you're ready to change your life, you're ready to walk away from those things and make a real commitment to start living for Him. Let's pray. Father, I ask that tonight, if there be anyone here who has not looked at the cross and saw the result of his sin, the result of my sin, Jesus, the suffering Savior, dying on the cross for the very things that I'm doing right now, the freedom he wants to give me in his life and death and resurrection. I pray for that heart right now. I pray for that person right now, Jesus, that he would reach out and say, tonight, I'm repenting. Tonight, I'm walking away from those things. I'm trusting in Jesus. Father, I pray for my friends up here that are tired of a superficial walk with God. They're tired of saying that this Christianity, this church, Chi Alpha, is no longer going to be a self-help for me. It's no longer going to be about my feelings and my happiness and who I know. But I am ready to take up the cross. I'm ready to take up the sword. I'm ready to take up your purposes and suffer with Christ, to co-labor with Him, to experience the suffering that results from that. No longer living Christianity on the surface, but entering to a deeper walk and a fellowship, not just with Christ, but with those who are walking with you. True brothers, true comrades, true friends, real fellowship. So, Father, I pray for their commitment tonight. I pray for that decision. Holy Spirit, make it real. The step that needs to be taken. The courage that's needed. Holy Spirit, I pray for that courage. The conversations that people need to have, the places that people may need to go, the things that they may need to do, the type of suffering that may come from that, they would not be scared by. The devil roams about like a roaring lion, trying to strike fear in your heart. But it's not true. Christ will lift you up. You will experience His peace, His courage. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is peace, courage, boldness. He will give you strength. We love you, God. We praise you, Jesus. We worship you. So let's take a few moments and worship God. Let's say, thank you, Jesus, for the cross. Thank you, Jesus, for your life. Thank you, Jesus, for the sacrifice you made. Thank you, God, for the calling you put on my life to enter into a deeper fellowship, to take that noble purpose to seek and save that which was lost, the same purpose you had. I'll do it, God, I pray. Who would join him in his labors. We love you. Amen.